Welcome, everyone, to Mexican Crossing Lines with your hosts, Cindy Gomez-Shemp.
And Duke Gomez-Shemp.
You're listening to 88.1 FM KPPPLP Fargo-Moorhead, where we are adding local color to your airwaves. And tonight, I am going to be talking to you about the agents of chaos. I believe that they cause chaos wherever they go and wherever they have been in the past.
Yeah.
I think it would be good for us to summarize the whereabouts, the history of one of those very important agents of chaos, Evan Kirk Duke III. Because as I realized that a lot of people that are followers currently started watching my reporting with regard to the caravans and my knowledge with regard to the mercenary activists, con artivists, and Antifa.
Characters,
yeah. I don't know what to call them. Criminals that showed up in Mexico. I realized that, you know, a lot of folks, they don't know the history of Evan Duke, which is it's really shocking to me to see Evan Duke, you know, fisticuffing in Portland, Oregon recently. This guy has been on the government watch list, on this government watch list that has been reported upon. He was drawn down on by a number of law enforcement with pointed weapons at the border. He had his phone seized. He was chained to a bench, as he put it.
Yeah.
There is so much that this man has been connected to, so many people, politicians, important people, politicians, campaign leaders in different parties. And it makes you wonder, how is this guy walking around free?
Yep, exactly.
How are these people who have, in my opinion, been part of fraud after fraud after crime after fraud after crime after fraud, and yet they're walking around free? Well, here on A Mexican Crossing Lines, we believe in media justice.
Oh yeah.
I know that the world is lacking in it. We learned how poorly the justice system operates in the case of Kathleen Bennett. And we were able to bring justice to that situation by exposing the truth to the public, by bringing you out there the information. Was it instant? No. It took over a year to get rid of some of the, to lower the profile, the reach, the criming, the involvement of some of these individuals, such as Ed Higgins. Many of you probably remember don't know who that is because you don't, you haven't been following our show for very many years, but his ugly face popped up again when I was doing the summary of Evan Duke.
Oh, I suppose.
Yeah, he's in there. Mm-hmm. But I thought, you know what? I have to bring my audience with me so you can understand who this guy is. So we're going to talk about all of his involvement, including Tulsi Gabbard, presidential candidate 2020. And of course, one of the co-founders of the Veterans Stand for Standing Rock, Wes Clark Jr., Jill Stein, and the redacted Tonight host, Lee Camp.
Oh, really?
Remember that the different shows that are connected to the Young Turks, mm-hmm. including that comedian dude.
Jimmy Dore.
Jimmy Dore, mm-hmm. yeah. And Redacted Tonight's Lee Camp. They were like this tight little circle of media people reproducing the...
That's news.
The echo chamber of lies and propaganda mm-hmm. that was produced by these conartivists and mercenary activists that came out to Standing Rock. Which was quite infuriating for us trying to crack this Kathleen Bennett case, but we managed to do it despite their best efforts. So we're going to talk about all of that tonight. It's going to be quite an education for folks. So get ready. Buckle your seatbelts because this is going to be a doozy. Excuse me. But first, I want to thank folks for reaching out and sending all of the information that you have. People are still very upset of what took place in Portland and the impunity under which it happened. We do still plan to get out to Tijuana. We have not yet met our goal. So for those of you who are supporting our work, please make a tax-deductible donation to our nonprofit radio station, Duke. How can folks support us?
Well, many ways, and thank you all for supporting us and watching us. One of the biggest supports we get is that we have people who watch our live streams, who respond, who share them, and also go to our YouTube channel, Duke1517, and watch the videos there. And also go to our website, kppfm.com. we take a lot of these shows and we broadcast them on the air in our local community on our radio station, our authentic radio station, as we really have. We've been broadcasting for over 3 years. It took 3 years to establish it, but if people are, excuse me, I swallowed a sandwich in my lungs before the show.
Sorry,
I'm trying
them.
To get it out of there. So anyways, you know, you can go to our website and look us up. We are at kppfm.com. Also, if you're driving around the community or if you just want to give us a call and leave a voice message for us, you can call our number at 701-566-0917. You can find us on Facebook at 88.1 FM. You can also find the People's Press Project, the Mexi-Can. And as Cindy mentioned, our website where you can make a donation is kppfm.com/donate. If you make a tax-deductible donation to our station, we'd very much appreciate it. We appreciate everyone who has supported us over the years because it's viewers and listeners like you that have made this station possible. You've helped us improve the quality of the shows we do, the equipment we have, and we are doing a bang-up job. And also, you can find our other shows on kppfm.com/A Mexican Crossing Lines. That's where Cindy's shows are on, that I co-host with. And also... don't forget to go to our YouTube channel because we put our all of it's up to date right now. If you go there, all our recent shows are up to date, and they have embedded YouTube videos along with podcasts. Some don't have podcasts because, tell you the truth, these Antifa shows have been hard to edit to put on the air because I don't want any swear words going out there, or any cussing going out on the air. And some of these shows are over 2 hours
like
long,
sailors.
And I have...
They swear like sailors.
Yeah, they swear all the time. You know, these Antifa people just have bleep, 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 and pretty much the whole audio would be bleep, 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 bleep. You know, and it just kind of gets tedious, so I haven't actually put those on the air or on our websites, but most of them are there. Please go there and look around, and also, I thought of this, and I'm trying to remember what it was. A lot of the things we've done in the past on our website, the whole Kathleen Bennett case... is on a tab called the Kathleen Bennett Story. Mm-hmm. All of our work at Standing Rock is the early coverage of Standing Rock. We have other tabs on our website that you can actually look at some of the history of the things we did. Mm-hmm. And when we first started, we weren't doing YouTube Lives. They actually weren't very popular then. They actually were just developing the technology. So they're audio podcasts. So you listen to our shows. And those shows,
sure.
When we first started, we were putting them on internet radio until we actually got the equipment to put our station up and actually do terrestrial radio. So a lot of information is in there, and there are some early day live streams we did and some videos from Standing Rock, plus the whole Kathleen Bennett story, which is close to 150 different shows to catch you up to date what that actually means. Cindy mentions it in every show because we relate to it. These characters emerged then. I didn't want to keep on covering Evan K. Duke III, But he came up in Standing Rock a long, long time ago, and we covered them then, and we're covering them now.
Yeah. And one of our listeners mentions that I forgot about Mike Fassig. No, Derek, I did not forget about Mike Fassig. For those who don't know, he was accused of being a, was it a guy that sells women?
What's it called? Pimp.
Yeah, that's the word. I didn't want to say it.
Yeah, okay.
And his son was convicted for kidnapping and violently raping a woman. I also did not mention Red Wolf Pope, who is also facing convictions in multiple states for raping women. Of course, Ed Higgins, drunk driving, harassing women, committing fraud in Puerto Rico, damaging property. Kyle Thompson, meth addiction, a meth addicted abuser of Courtney Doctor. We've got Frank Archambault, who is a registered sex offender. But you know all of these names, those people that have been watching me, you know all of these names and these stories. What you don't know, and here's a story I've never told before. I've never told the story, Duke.
All right.
I never told the story at the time because I learned along the way. Folks, you have to understand that when I went to Standing Rock as a reporter, I was completely, I believed their propaganda. I believed that they were there to help the Native Americans protect their water. I believed that they were going to be prayerful and peaceful. I believed that they did not have dangerous people there, that they wouldn't work with dangerous people, that they did have their own internal security, the accusations they made against the police. I believed it all. And I believed that the accusations that most of the people there were frauds and that they were paid activists sounded insane to me. Mm-hmm. It sounded cuckoo, like a conspiracy theory from the right. But it was correct. It was a movie set. It was propaganda. And it took for me to see it over time. I had people working with the PR of Hollywood that, for lack of a better word, exploited me for a very long time. One of those people, her name, it was Maggie Day, for those of you who remember. She was on the shows all the time commenting. She actually is a PR person from Hollywood, which she admitted to me. She told me she was there with several of the actors, Kendrick Sampson being one of them, Matt McGorry from mm-hmm. Orange is the New Black's first season. You might remember her first several season he was in, and some others. What was the Carter? One of the twins, one of the Carter twins, Max Carver. Yes. There were several. What she failed to mention was that she was hired by Wes Clark Jr. and that she was working with Seven McDonald, the daughter of celebrity singer Country Joe and the Fish. What was the song that they do?
Country Joe and the Fish Cheer. And it's 1, 2, 3. What are we fighting for? Don't ask me. I don't give a damn. The next stop is Vietnam, and it's 5, 6, 7, open up the pearly gates. Well, there ain't no time to wonder why. Whoopee, we're all gonna die.
That's exactly the one, honey.
Mm-hmm.
They did not tell me that, and I did not discover it on my own until Maggie told me that she was friends with Seven McDonald. She did not tell me they were both hired to work with Wes. They obviously knew a lot about Wes. I just assumed that because they both lived in LA, they'd heard about each other. And because they work within the inner sanctum of the public relations in Hollywood, they knew more about what was happening in the background of his life. When in fact, they were friends with him. They planned going out to Standing Rock with him. They were working very closely with political campaigns and senators and politicians, etc. But they never told me that. They never told me that they only got close enough, that they were getting close to me that they were having Maggie Day call me on an almost constant basis so that she could direct how I was reporting, so that she could intrude, so that she could threaten, so that she could cajole. And she did. In fact, and this is one of the many stories I never told. In fact, some of you may recall that when Mike Fassig and Mike Marcus burned down a building, which was the Veterans Stand for Standing Rock headquarters, burned down that building, that I said that both of these men were dangerous and that Mike Fassig struck me as being a con, that he reminded me of a guy that said he was in witness protection and had all these tall tales.
Oh, yeah.
From our town. That I did not think that he was a hero. I said, who would put lives in danger by starting a fire in the middle of an encampment, ready to be besieged by the police at any moment, you know, basically giving police or local authorities every reason to come in and mm-hmm. raid the camp. And I was attacked right away. I was contacted by Maggie Day and told that I had to take that video down. I did not know this at the time either, but I later learned that she contacted Kathleen Bennett's son, Russell, and had him call me and tell me that he was angry on behalf of himself and his mother for what I had done in calling out this water protector. I'm using air quotes there. Because he had such a great following, because he was such an important figure, because he was one of the heroes of the movement. Mm-hmm. One of the sacred cows, that I was going to lose credibility with all the water protectors and with all the important people within the movement that would even care to help, as if any of them did, as if any of them ever did, okay? Didn't make any difference. But between the call I got from Russell and the nagging of Maggie Day, they convinced me that the best thing to do for the case, for Kathleen Bennett's case, was to take down the video and to apologize. To apologize for something, to lie, basically tell my audience that I was wrong when I did not feel like I was wrong. All to keep Kathleen Bennett's fan base listening.
Mm-hmm.
All to keep water protectors listening. All to keep them on my side. Fat lot of good that did. Basically, I removed a video I shouldn't have removed, although I do still have the audio.
Yep.
I kept the audio of that show.
In a secret place.
In a secret place. I still have the whole thing. But that's why I did it, folks. That's why I took it down. That's why I was coerced, manipulated into removing media. And all they did was to keep these scammers' names from being destroyed, their brand from being burned. It wasn't long before Mike Fassig was a quote-unquote correspondent for Madeline Kelly Merritt, the Hollywood actress and LA Divest co-founder platform, Activate Now, the now defunct, for a long time defunct, media platform, along with Ed Higgins, another one of those people that eventually burned their brand, but not until after they had committed so many horrible fraud crimes,
mm-hmm.
Harassment, that finally led to all of these water protectors, all of these con artists dropping them.
Yep.
So when you see, folks, when you see blind followers of any of these sacred cows any of these celebrity people, I challenge you to think of them as a package deal, the follower, the Kool-Aid drinking followers and the sacred cows. They're a package deal. They come with followers. They come with bots. Some of them are real. Some of them are sock puppet accounts.
Mm-hmm.
So it appears that they have a ton of support when it's just a bunch of con artists supporting each other, having each other's back no matter what, sticking by the side of these activists, con artivists, no matter what they do or who they do it to. Let's go back to the Portland riot. Let's look at this New York Post article together, in which they talk about the cost of this rally. It's going to cost millions, according to this New York Post article titled "Proud Boys Leader Admits Rallies All About Brawling, Costing Millions." Proud Boy rallies are all about brawling with Antifa, anti-fascists, and wasting the public's money. The end. I don't need to read any more. The group's leader is caught on video admitting this. I've been saying this. I had other people on my comments that used to be one of these folks also saying this. People are starting to wake up and learn their lesson. Proud Boy leader Enrique Tarrio was taped saying, "We've wasted all their effing resources to make this rally. We want them to waste $2 million. Do you remember me telling you that in the process of making millions off of their GoFraudMes at Standing Rock, getting a bunch of people arrested, nearly 900 people got arrested and all had records and were all banned from going to any kind of protest for a year or longer. Mm-hmm. In addition to all of that, they cost the state millions and millions and millions of dollars. The pipeline was built on time. The pipeline didn't suffer at all.
No.
Protesters, First Amendment rights, the rights of flying drones, especially for a state like the one which kind of pioneered a lot of drone stuff, mm-hmm. which is North Dakota. All of those things were curtailed because of these activists who claim that they came here to fight for the rights of people. What did they do instead? They cost a lot of money. That's what these folks are about. It's about the spectacle.
Mm-hmm.
And who better than to get people that don't care about the outcomes, have criminal records themselves, have nothing to lose. Have nothing to lose. People that go from place to place, that never have a permanent home, many of them living out of their cars, living out of their trailers, out of their vans, saying that they are homeless, mm-hmm. that they gave up everything for the cause. Evan is one of those people. Here he is in Portland. You recall he's got that scarf that, what is it called? Cafe?
I'm not sure what it's called.
Cafe scarf, which is, you know, those scarves worn by the fighters in Afghanistan?
Something like that, yeah.
Anyway, it's a green and black cafe scarf. He always is wearing that thing. He was even punching people in the videos that you saw. There he is next to Jamal Oscar X. For those of you who don't know who these two people are, they were prominently featured in many of the videos that came out of that riot that happened in Portland. And in this next article, I wanted to talk about the shirt he was wearing. If you can go back to Evan's picture just for a minute, you can see he's wearing an American Indian Movement shirt. You see that?
Mm-hmm.
The American Indian Movement. Well, it's folks like this guy from the next article I'm going to show you that wear those types of shirts. And this man, his name is Pedro Ragabo Gutierrez. I've shown this man on my show before.
Oh, yeah.
To give you an idea of the kind of people involved in their pipeline protest movements. Pete Heflin was a leader of a Texas environmental movement. He fought against pipeline companies, decried corporate greed, and he once helped to open one of the largest protest camps in West Texas aimed at blocking the Trans-Pecos pipeline. But guess what? He forgot to tell people he was a convicted felon from California. Not for just any little old thing, but for multiple serious crimes, including rape, drug dealing. Before fleeing the state, at least 10 years ago, as a wanted man, and then he went to protest. He became a professional protester.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Well, who was he working with? Well, it says here in this article, if you scroll down, that he was part of the circle of the Society of Native Nations. You know that group that was with Lilith Sinclair protesting the laws that were going to go into effect in Texas against protesting pipelines?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe this is why Texas passed those laws. It says right here, Frankie Arona, the guy with the feathers in his hair all the time at these protests that sticks straight up, you know, kind of porcupine style.
Mm-hmm.
The guy that always wears the AIM vest. The guy that's always hanging out with Juan B. Mancias of the Carrizo Come Crudo tribe. What did he have to say when he found out that Gutierrez was a convicted felon, a dangerous one at that? He said, quote, he was part of our circle. He was part of our family. That's what he said. And Arono is, of course, the executive director of the Society of Native Nations, the San Antonio-based environment and at American Indian Advocacy Group, at which Gutierrez was a member of the board of directors.
Wow.
And then he says, goes on to say, but then again, we've always been about holding people accountable. No, you never have. You've never held anyone accountable. You hide their criminal pasts. You literally call these people. You have no problem working with them, even when you find out. Let me prove it. And in this situation, he was definitely wrong. I am upset with him. Why aren't you upset with yourselves? Mm-hmm. Who else was working along with these folks? The Sierra Club. Did they have a problem going down to Texas with Evan Duke in his new camp with the Carrizo Come Crudo tribe and Juan Mancias? Hell to the no. No problem. Gutierrez, according to this article and the California Department of Corrections, was sentenced to 9 years for forcible rape, 7 years for forcible oral sex, 3 years for possession of a controlled substance with intent to sell. I mean, it isn't as if, and by the way, between 1990 and 1997, he was re-imprisoned at least 5 times for parole violations, according to corrections records. And in 1998, he was convicted of having sex with a minor. He went back to jail, got paroled again in 2002, and then he escaped.
That's right.
To become a professional protester. And the Society of Native Nations said, we're looking for somebody for the board. Do you want to join? They got no problem. They have no problem with it. Let me show you. Okay? You think that they didn't know Evan Duke had a criminal record too? That as recently as 2015, he was convicted again? Of course they know. They just don't care. Who else is chiming in about this Portland protest? why it was Chase Iron Eyes, and what did he have to say?
You speak in Lakota. I can't read it.
Yeah, no, just read the English part, honey.
Violence is not the monopoly of the exploiters. As such, the exploited can use it too. And that is what more ought to use it when the movement arrives.
And what is the poster itself
it's,
of?
It's Che.
Che Guevara.
And at the bottom it says, words of comrades.
Comrades, communists. Okay. And what did this say at the top in the red words? Did you read the post itself? Could you please?
Yes. I did.
Oh, you read. That was the moment arrives. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. And Chase says, stand in priests and prayer. But, you know, that devolves quickly into, you know, something else. What's the next post that he says, that he makes, Duke?
Squash the fash.
Now, no, smash.
Smash
it
the
says
fash.
Smash.
Smash the fash.
And what is that a poster of?
We beat him before. We'll beat him again, and it has a guy that looks like it's a mega hat on, and a Nazi behind him.
Behind him is a Nazi, right? So that's what it says, we beat him before. And then it has a person wearing a MAGA hat, and it says, we'll beat him again. And the person in front of, well, basically there's a bayonet pointed at the MAGA hat wearer. Mm-hmm. That is the message from Chase Iron Eyes, who ran for Congress for the state of North Dakota.
Exactly.
Also convicted of a weapons charge, right? Mm-hmm. And he was rearrested at Standing Rock, as was Evan Duke. Next, he posts, so much for the peace and prayer, huh?
Yeah, really.
That went out the window fast. The Guardian article was posted by Chase Iron Eyes with the title, Portland Prepares for the City's Largest Far-Right Rally of the Trump Era.
Huh.
And he writes, you want to read the words there, honey?
Portland prepares for cities.
I already read that part. What did
Smash racist fascism in all forms.
Exactly. So now he's talking about smashing, whereas before he wasn't talking about smashing. But of course, he knows Evan Duke. Here's a picture of them that goes back to the Standing Rock aftermath, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And he's got that stupid scarf on right there. Same scarf, guys. Same scarf. When I talk about the scarf, it's because I've seen it.
Seen it in every picture.
Every single time.
For years.
And they talk about the tribal collaboration with the Border Support Network. It's discussed. This was Joe Plouffe, one of the people that helped to set up the camps. What does it say? This is a memo to the World Wide Web from Evan Duke from the Asylum Seekers Caravan Support Network page.
Yep, it's for immediate release Sunday, November 18th, 2018. From Evan Duke, Asylum Seekers Caravan Support Network to the World Wide Web. Immediate direct action needed. Speaking on behalf of the Asylum Seekers Caravan Support Network, Evan Duke this evening issued the following call. Rapidly deteriorating conditions along the American-Mexican border call for examples of unification.
Let's jump ahead to the second paragraph, because this is the part that's really important.
All right.
For you to recognize, it's in writing that they are collaborating. It says, indigenous people
along the border included the Asylum Seekers Caravan Support Network for a thoughtful and reasoned approach to real human drama. Speaking of the necessary peaceful action, Duke indicated one such voice of reason, Juan B. Mancias of the Carrizo Comacrudo tribe of Texas, expressed a need to travel to the convergence in Tijuana representing his people. The Carrizo Comacrudo, the convergence, is currently gathering at the U.S. border with Tijuana, Mexico. There he will participate in defining, promoting, and working for solutions based on true human need and responsibility.
So he says that the Asylum Seekers Caravan Support Network, the Veterans Respond from Standing Rock, and the Carrizo Comacrudo tribe will all work together. And of course, we know that involves people like Lilith Sinclair that we also saw in Portland. We also saw her in Portland as a street medic and activist.
Yeah.
They traveled together from Tijuana. Now they're at this thing in Portland. And this is a recent post she made I'm not going to play the video that goes along with it. This is just the screen capture of her post in which she talks about being in Portland recently. She says, "Hey, y'all. I'm going to do a live for a bit and just interact with people if anyone hops on the feed and also answer questions about me, my life, my activism work. So I'm tired and I've been thinking a lot about the journey I've been on in the last 6 years and especially within the last year. Folks who've known me that long often point out that I am a completely different person than what they met when they met me. In thinking about that, I started mentally cataloging the wild ride I've had of experiences within that time. College, coming out, personal trauma, mental illness, monogamous engagement, starting sex work, Occupy, ICE, PDX, Charlottesville, 2.0, Portland Living, Tijuana, learning from indigenous elders, so much more. It's been a lot. So if you have any questions about any of that, feel free to ask. Well, I mean, I did listen to some of it before the show, and I just have to tell you guys, it was stunning. It was stunning to hear this woman talk about sex work, and in almost, well, more than a quarter, almost half of the video is just about her what she called full service sex work, which she clarified is the new and more modern way of saying prostitution,
I guess,
which she's very open about that she is a prostitute. And, but not to be mistaken with trafficking, sex trafficking, of people. Okay. 'Cause she, has no room for that. That it's not something she gets involved with. She just works alongside the people that do the smuggling and the sex trafficking. Because you know that she does. You know that she works alongside the people. En al otro lado, en Pueblos Sin Fronteras, we know have been accused of smuggling and trafficking people. We know she was in the What's Up chat talking about the rights of the activists, including herself, to give drugs, to use drugs in Mexico and share them with the immigrants, including unaccompanied minor Carlos, who she slept with in her car. An unaccompanied minor. This is a picture of her resume. I just wanted to show you. I know it doesn't really have anything to do with what I'm talking about, but I wanted to remind you how close these folks are. You know, there's Lolly B, one of the at the bottom, giving her love, props for her cute new resume with little circles. Rating her capacity in different areas. I guess, you know, full service sex work is not on there. She left it off of the thing.
Probably the second page.
Maybe. Well, it says skills there. Mm-hmm. Anyway, Lolly B, one of the people volunteering for Al Otro Lado, giving false information to the migrants, still supporting, giving much love to Lilith, and Akichida Hoxida, also right at the top there, who is Manape Lemaire. Now, Manape Lemaire was one of the quote-unquote headsmen out at Standing Rock that made the decision that they would frame the innocent woman, Kathleen Bennett. But he's also a convicted felon who was the strong arm in a gang of people selling meth. From Iowa. His real name is George Lemaire, and he is the adopted son of the head of the Nebraska DNC.
Yep.
And of course, he is supported and promoted by people involved with Bold Nebraska and Bold Iowa, Jane Klebe. They have no problem working with these former felons and dangerous people, even though those people continue to and go on to commit other crimes and hurt other people. Here is one of the people that Evan was with. I showed you a little bit more on him. I just wanted to remind you folks that they didn't just meet at the Portland riot. Jamal Oscar X has been friends and a propagandist along with Evan Duke. That's sharing Lilith Sinclair's post in the Border Support Network about the tear gas being used by Border Patrol at the clash that occurred in November of last year, of 2018. And he says, all because white people hate anyone who at white short, what?
White shoring at kids. Weeman, I don't know, what's wordplay here?
No, he doesn't know how to speak English. I'm sorry. We're just going to skip whatever that
is. All right.
But, you know, you get the point, right? He's talking some smack there. And Jamal Oscar X is also pictured here with a group of Antifa gun club members. These are folks that don't mind using and talking about the use of violence and use of weapons. Here is a post about the Portland riot in which they talk about, Evan is talking about the use of a hammer. He also said there was a knife that was used at the Portland riot. And remember that video of Wania Locke I showed you on my last show, talking about how they were going to, you know, Alison Renville was introducing Bernie Sanders.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember that.
Remember playing a little bit of that? Mm-hmm. Show them the video. Show them the video so they can hear little bit of it.
Yeah, we just played that the other day, I think, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, we did. Yeah, and it was, she starts off by just, you know, sitting there, and then she turns the camera on the podium, it's Alison Renville.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a little clip just to remind folks.
There's a crowd on stage, and a person's taking the podium. Alison Renville is taking the podium.
My name is Alison Renville. I am a Sisseton, Wampton, Oyante tribal member from Sisseton, South Dakota. I'm also a Hunkpapa Lakota and Eagle Clan from the Omaha Nation. In a time when we have really put action behind a lot of the prayers that we've established over the last 4 years, Bernie Sanders has become part of that prayer for me. I have been able to give him sweetgrass. I've given him sage, and today I plan to give him some cedar to make sure that the words that are spoken today go up.
So I wanted to remind folks or educate folks about what and who Alison Renville is. Now, when the Kathleen Bennett case came about, Kathleen Bennett would have gone to jail. They would have railroaded her and killed her mother, and no one would have been any wiser. And Melanie Stoneman, the kidnapper, Bill Running Fisher, the mercenary, and their band of, you know, frauds and liars involved would have all had a story about how they saved an elderly woman from her daughter, from her monstrous, abusive daughter, rather than being the monsters of the story themselves. Had it not been for two brave souls, two witnesses, who doggedly defended that they knew that this was a frame job and that they could prove it. They worked tirelessly with us for years.
Mm-hmm.
Josh Long, Ren Brown.
Yep.
To free this woman. When they started speaking out and saying, we were with this woman and her mom. She did not abuse her mother. We were with them at the time they are accused of leaving their mom inside of a tent, frozen, naked, and covered in excrement and urine. They were not in the camp anymore. They were at the casino together. And there should be a way of finding proof that is the case. And we did find proof of that.
Oh, yeah.
However, Alison Renville, when they started talking about the fact that the story was a lie, that the article was false, the articles jailing her and accusing her of elder abuse was false, Alison Renville, that you saw on the podium introducing Bernie Sanders, told these witnesses, tampered with these witnesses to silence them, to tell them to shut up and not talk out of turn because the Indians are discussing this still, and to tell them that they were wrong. Look at the post. I want to remember with you. This is Alison Renville communicating with Josh Long and Ren. And she said, don't talk about that attack. We need to talk before you get the story twisted so we have you on the right page, please. How do you get someone on the right page that was a witness that knows that the whole thing was a farce? She goes on, we know the facts of the story. How the hell do you know the facts of the story when you weren't there, Allison? Because you were part of the criminal gang that decided to frame an innocent woman. How can these people even show their faces in public?
That's right.
It's disgusting to me.
Mm-hmm.
She says it shouldn't be talked about yet. This woman contributed to the early death of an elderly woman. And she has the nerve to say, this can't be talked about yet. All of these people were waiting for that poor elderly woman, Mary Trujillo, to just die. And for her daughter to rot in a jail with no one to care for her. That's what they expected to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And could you finish reading what it says there?
Yeah, we know the facts of the story. It shouldn't be talked about yet. There's truths in that article. I hope you decide not to add fuel to the fire before the Horn can comment.
The Horn was the group of the
headsmen.
The headsmen that included that Akichita Hoxita that I just showed, whose real name is George Lemaire.
Yep.
Or Menape Lemaire. His dad is George Lemaire.
Yep, exactly.
Excuse me. Well, here's a picture of Mr. Evan K. Duke with Alison Renville from after Standing Rock back in the day. And there's many more people involved here.
One moment.
Yes.
I'm in the wrong spot. I have to look for it. For some reason, it's not there. It didn't come up. So just cover for me.
Okay. And it includes, this photo includes a number of people, including the... Oh, here it is. They're in front. They're actually in front of some kind of theater, it looks like. And down in front on one knee are Jesse Ilnicki and Ed Higgins. Behind them are Evan Duke. Then there's a guy that I don't know. I don't know who his name is. I don't know his name. And then next to that guy is Alison Renville. Did you find it?
Nope, I don't get it.
Keep scrolling. It's in the thing. It's right there. Evan Lee at the very bottom row, right there.
That
That's
one?
In. Yes, the one, yes. Mm-hmm.
Boy, sorry, folks.
It's quite all right.
Boom, got it, finally.
Okay, so Evan is on... In the front is Jesse Ilnicki. He came with the veteran stand for Standing Rock. Next to him is Ed Higgins. Very few people came off as unhinged and as, drug-addled or crazy as Jesse Ilnicki. Very few. But a lot of these people were very unstable and addicted and... Yeah, many of those that were at Standing Rock had those problems.
Yeah.
There's Evan Duke in the back. Alison Renville has got her hand on Jesse Ilnicki's shoulder.
Okay.
And next to her is Lee Camp of Redacted Tonight.
Yeah.
Then there is a woman who I am unsure about. And after her is the actress Maya Rose Burko.
Hmm.
Remember her? She was at Standing Rock. She is friends with Madeline Kelly Merritt, of actress of Activate Now. Okay? So they knew each other. Here's another one of Evan Duke with Lee Camp, lest you think that that was just a one-off of a fan. These wearing different clothes at a different event. These folks bumped into each other many, many times. So did Evan Duke and Allison Renville. Here's another picture of them. And the thing that really struck me after all of the Portland videos came out and I saw Evan Duke punching mm-hmm. people and committing crimes was, seriously, is nobody figuring this out and what he's been accused of back then and ever since?
Yeah, exactly.
And apparently somebody was, because I found this tweet that was shared on social media by Milo Yiannopoulos that says, Tulsi Gabbard is an Antifa fangirl. Here she is with Evan Duke, a violent fascist activist who is under investigation for the attempted black market purchase of weapons from Mexico in order to stage an insurgency against the U.S. government. Gabbard describes Duke as incredible and that she was honored to meet him. Not just that, Milo Yiannopoulos, mm-hmm. not just that. In addition to that, Evan Duke, Ed Higgins, and this group of different activists, including Jesse L. Nicky, which you see down there again on his knees, were the security detail for Tulsi Gabbard.
Mm-hmm. When
she was at Standing Rock. Mm-hmm. They were the security detail for a member of Congress. She had Antifa guarding.
Yeah.
My God, this woman.
Yep, she did.
And, you know, you'll remember that the person that he was accused of getting together with by, you know, the investigation of the FBI involves a man named Ivan Riebling, who you may recall is this man. This is the guy here pictured taking a very chummy picture with Paloma for fraud.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Paloma for Trump. And in this article by PJ Media, they break down exactly what is known about this investigation of the armed rebellion and the Antifa plot. Ongoing investigation. And this was from the San Diego Union-Tribune unclassified report. As you recall, Wendy Fry mm-hmm. quoted Evan Duke as saying that he believed that the investigation against him was taking place because of yours truly, a Mexican crossing lines. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
You guys recall that I shared this article before?
Mm-hmm.
I've told you this is what he said about me. In fact, this article quotes our station's reporting and talks about the goals of the group that Evan belongs to and how they operate as chaos agents.
Yep.
Evan came to Standing Rock with a veteran stand for Standing Rock, which later changed their name to Veterans Respond and later morphed into the Service Corps. But here they are, the ragtag team.
At Standing Rock.
With the elderly lady, Regina, that was mm-hmm. at Wounded Knee. Remember?
Yep.
And this was in the last days of the camp, right before they shut it down.
Mm-hmm.
Here is a picture of him from his youth in which he claims that he served in the National Guard.
Oh.
You can see there in the comments that he mentions at the very bottom, it was the only way he could afford college.
Wow.
And I don't know what his service consisted of, but there were a lot of people that went to Standing Rock that called themselves veterans. Ed Higgins was one of them, and then he later admitted after talking about being a sharpshooter in some article that sounded like a bunch of bunk. He admitted that he was actually kicked out of of the
basic training
because he came back and tested positive for cocaine. And you guys remember his involvement with Wes Clark. Here he is. Oh, go back to the one you're about to show there. Yes. Now, Evan Duke, who, like many of the other veterans that we saw there that are joined with these rebellious Antifa-connected groups, can, you know, show their pictures of their service or talk about or embellish on their service when, in fact, they do not believe in our democracy or our government. What did he post here, Duke?
Evan K. Duke III says, America, in quotes, has several types of governments in place. The United States is not a democracy, nor has it ever been.
Exactly. And, you know, Wes Clark was also pictured with him and his scarf. In this picture, you see him hanging out because, of course, they were together. Remember, he was the security detail for Tulsi.
Yeah.
And, of course, here is a picture of Wes and Tulsi. And next to them is Phyllis Young. Phyllis Young was one of the ladies in leadership. She was assigned by the tribal chairman to be the liaison for the pipeline construction project. Evan also got close to Tulsi. Here he is in a selfie he did with her. It wasn't that he was just in the sidelines, but there was a lot of people that were allowed to get very close to her, including Higgins, Dave Archambault, the tribal chairman that's pictured next to her in front. And behind Archambault, you can see Evan Duke. That was him in the just previous picture in the same clothes.
Mm-hmm.
And in this article from HuffPo, you can see that this picture was the one that they used in the article.
Yep.
Where they she talks about, you know, that's where she was quoted saying nice things about the people she was taking pictures with.
Uh-huh.
Here is a picture of Tulsi with Dave Archambault and the Veterans Stand for Standing Rock spokesperson, L'Oreal Blackshaw.
Oh, boy.
Who put together the security team that had the mercenary, Bill Running Fisher, that helped to kidnap Mary Trujillo and put her in a hospital and in an early grave. This is the person, the spokesperson, whispering in the chairman's ear that gave the power to the security team that conducted raids in the encampment and that put the life of this elderly woman at risk and put her in an early grave and framed a completely innocent woman. Tulsi wasn't just hanging out with indigenous celebs and dignitaries. She was also hanging out with the stars. In this picture from her Tulsi Run Facebook page, she is with, you started the next one, honey. That one. No. That's not the right one. Nope. No, we need the Tulsi, Dave Archambault, L'Oreal.
That's it.
Okay, hold on. That's the one that we just saw. You're right. There's one from her Facebook page that comes up in a little bit. I jumped ahead. My bad, okay? I wanted to show you one of the people that Tulsi is very close to, Winnie Wong. As you see here, she is pictured with her. And Winnie posts this on her Facebook page saying, "I wouldn't mess with us, would you?" And of course, as you know, Winnie Wong serves as a political advisor to Bernie Sanders.
Exactly.
In this other picture of Seven McDonald's post, of going to Standing Rock. She features many actors. I don't know all their names, except for Danny DeVito. And, of course, there's Tulsi featured, right? In this other post from the Veterans Respond, you see that the Bernese Brigade was at Standing Rock to support the Veterans Respond. Can you scroll down to the bottom of that? You're listening to 88.1 FM KPPPLP Fargo-Moorhead, where we are adding local color to your airwaves. Whoa, what's going on? Okay, and then the Strong Hearts, of course, as you know, is the society that Mulaney was in and Faith Spotted Eagle was in. Okay. Strong Hearts. Winona LaDuke is also friends with Evan K. Duke III. Winona LaDuke, of course, most recently has been accused, is being sued for allowing a person that sexually harassed employees and is accused, has several credible accusations of diddling with children, and that she gave continued protection to as a spiritual leader, as you know, was pictured here with Evan K. Duke when back from the camp days, because he was close to all of the leadership out there. Here's a picture with Tulsi, Myron Dewey, who's married to Deborah Parker of Our Revolution. Deborah Parker that did the Democratic platform. Tina Pugliese of Women Indigenous Media. And I don't know who that guy is. Oh, I guess that's her husband. The dude in the beard is her, Tulsi Gabbard's husband.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Okay, next I have Tulsi. Tulsi's from her page. Here she is with Dave Archambault. This is from her Run Tulsi Run Facebook page. Could you read that one for me, honey?
Yeah, yesterday we met with the chairman of the Standing Rock Tribe, Dave Archambault, the second, and council member Cody Two Bears. We sat for a couple of hours and learned about the history of the tribe and the current mission we are on. It was an amazing, deeply moving experience. I feel honored and blessed to be part of what will be a turning point for these amazing people here and around the world. Aloha.
Tulsi was in D.C. with Ed Higgins as well. Here she is, smiling big for Activate Now. And then they hug in the picture below. And her husband is there doing camera work. You can see him there in the hat.
I am.
With the blue hat on. So they get a big hug.
Mm-hmm.
Then, of course, you can see that they are taking a picture together. There's Evan Duke all the way in the back. Many of the same figures. Jesse Elnicki in the front.
Mm-hmm.
You've got Ed Higgins again. You've got some of the other veterans from the Veterans Respond Group all the way in the back with Duke. And this is for the D.C. inauguration mission.
I guess.
Okay. Now, you've got Evan Duke in Our Resistance. This started, you know, the page that I keep showing you, they talk about border support network stuff in, started at Standing Rock. Here's the post from 2016 in which you see them featuring Michael Marcus and many of the other veterans mm-hmm. people came to know as heroes later on. And at the very bottom, you see this comes from Our Resistance.
Yep.
It says, veterans hold a vigil on the bridge with Wes Clark, Phyllis Young, and they speak with National Guard Commander.
Hmm.
Can you go down any further, or
nope,
is that all it goes?
That's
okay.
It.
So this is from Our Resistance. And then, of course, he was involved with Jill Stein's campaign. Here he is. I skipped this. The Occupy inauguration was one of his first missives. You can see, and I've showed you this before, but for those of you who are new to my show, you can see that they list all of the different organizations that mm-hmm. he is working with. This is the Antifa person that you saw in Portland punching the people on the bus, punching, what was it, the American Guard people yeah. that were on the bus. You've got all of these different organizations, including Occupy Wall Street, Code Pink, Progressive Independent Party, Real Progressives, Bernie's National Delegate Speaking Panel, Veterans for Peace. So it's a very interesting list of folks, but you've got Dave Cobb there, Tim Canova, Winona LaDuke, mm-hmm. right? So, of course, they're not just joining in an effort. These people work together. Here is Evan Duke with Jill Stein. Or I skipped ahead. This is Craig Cobb interviewing Evan Duke.
I see.
On the Real Progressives, the campaign page, Stein and Baraka for 2016. Mm-hmm. And here is Evan Duke with Jill Stein. And they're not just in one picture. There's actually a couple of them. Here she's sitting in his lap.
Huh.
And she has her arm around him.
Yeah.
They got a little chummier. And then, of course, you know, Josh Fox is a documentary filmmaker that was at Standing Rock. And here's Duke hanging out with him. He was one mm-hmm. of the people that helped Myron Dewey make that horrible documentary featuring the kidnapper, yeah. Melanie Stoneman.
Exactly.
Here is a co-rapist of Carly Hammond, Chelsea Lyons Kent of Truth Against the Machine with Jordan Sheridan, but also one of the correspondents working closely with the Young Turks. And there's also the media ally, Jonathan Klett, who was Maggie Day's little boyfriend.
Yes.
And, of course, we have another picture with Myron Dewey and Evan Duke, who have been working on the Border Support Network mm-hmm. in Mexico and at the border camps ever since the caravans began.
Yep.
But don't forget that these are the same folks that brought you, you know, this veteran. Supposedly he's a veteran. I don't know about the credentials on Evan Duke. But these are the people that brought you the Nathan Phillips hoax.
Mm-hmm.
The Nathan Phillips hoax that took place with Kingfisher. That picture that you just showed has the guy in the brown jacket is Ray Kingfisher. He was one of the people with Nathan Phillips.
That's right. Yeah.
That was interviewing him. Mm-hmm. That was, you know, practically holding his hand.
Mm-hmm.
They traveled there together. They work together. They go from place to place together, putting on these hoaxes. Here's Evan in another picture with Myron Dewey and his scarf.
And his scarf.
His favorite scarves.
Mm-hmm.
Here is Steve Grunbein of Real Progressives. They were all working with Ed Higgins at first, and then he went on to a different platform. And when the Abolish ICE page was started, you can see here that the person who started Occupy ICE, okay, is mm-hmm. Evan K. Duke III. It's his page. And who established the Border Support Network? The Border Support Network was established by, scroll down there so we can see who it was established by. It says it was, the group is created by Occupy ICE. Well, who is Occupy ICE?
Mm-hmm.
We just saw it's Evan K. Duke III. That's who it is. And let's not forget, more recently, he was praising Willem von Spronson, the guy that blew up vehicles and attempted to blow up a propane tank next to an ICE facility in mm-hmm. Tacoma, Washington, saying, rest in power, calling this guy a hashtag hero.
Wow.
Let's not forget that he was the guy that helped to establish the activist camps
mm-hmm.
down in Texas, where they were going to have, you know, trainings and actions,
yep.
right?
Yep.
Let's not forget, he is also part of the DHS-CBP investigation. Department of Homeland Security has created a list of people that include Al Otro Lado lawyers, that includes these Antifa leaders, that includes people. And what are they being investigated for? Human smuggling. And who does Evan Duke work with even right now at the border? Well, it's Luis Gutierrez, or should I say Louis Monsivais, mm-hmm. as he likes to go by. In this post, you can see that Evan says one of our allies at the border giving us a report. What was Louis reporting on at the time? What does it say he was reporting on? Why Kelsey Warren's house and town Lajitas are one of the easiest places to cross mm-hmm. the Rio Grande from Mexico into the United States. Why is he telling people about where to cross the river? Well, I'll let him tell you for himself.
Yeah, really.
He's a human trafficker, and he's proud to tell you he is helping at the border with Evan Duke. Here is his own words.
We can get somebody on here. Just going to talk about a little bit of everything this morning. I really never know when I'm going to do a live feed. I'd always just feel to do one every once in a while. Oh, good. Hey, good morning. Oh, good. Good morning. I got a couple people coming on. Like I say, I'm going to continue to make my way down the Rio Grande River. I'm traveling right now just to kind of bring people up to par. I figured I'd do a live feed right now because I'm posted up at some people's property. They're so gracious to open up their property to me. And it's been a fantastic day and a half or so here going using their property as a home base. It's a safe spot. And they have Wi-Fi, so they allow me to piggyback off of them, which is really great. And I kind of want to give people an update on where I'm going to be going and what I'm going to be doing as much as I possibly can. Because where I'm going is no Wi-Fi and no service. And I want to make sure people understand about where I'm at and what my intentions are. What I want to try to continue to do, since I'm in this region and I'm, I guess, at the hands of life in general, I'm going to make the best I possibly can out of the situation and do as much research as I can here along the border. I think it's an important issue because we have so much separation amongst the American people and amongst the people about a border wall, about migrants and asylum seekers, about border crossings. We have human traffickers that people are interested in. And these are some of the topics that I want to talk about. Because I think it's important that people get another narrative of what's the truth out here. As I continue to talk to people, individual people, or interview individual people, they tell me a lot of what I suspect. That regardless the beauty of this area and the sanctuaries in this area and the parks in this region and the waterways and the people that make the money and the through the Rio Grande, there will be no border wall, they say, in this area. There have been small cities like Terlingua, who has passed ordinance for a no-wall ordinance. There have been places like, as we know, we have visited the last several days, Kelsey Warren's town called Lajitas, and the employees and people there told me specifically that he has pushed for a no-wall through his area also as well. So I think it's important time of our lives to be able to have somebody out here at least trying to show and document and drone video footage and interview and see for ourselves what's really going on in these regions and what's the possibilities, because we have a lot of fear involved with our news outlets, with your president, with the people, with bigotry, with racism, with human rights violation on such a mass scale that it's seeming like you're having a wildfire of hate or a wildfire of bigotry, a wildfire of fear, let's call it. Our Wi-Fi service, I will be without Wi-Fi service and phone service for the next couple of days. I'm going to head into a region where it's very known, well-known crossings areas on both sides of the Rio Grande, on the Mexican side and the with the south side border and the north side of the border, being Texas. I think it's very important to document these areas, either specifically for myself or for a database, a mental database, or just the knowledge of knowing where these are at. So I get to work with a lot of very old friends and old families. I get to meet new friends and new families that are always interested in this type of work. I would ask people to try to understand this in a bigger scale. Everybody always says, I got a message this morning from a young lady that said, I like your videos. I understand about the border crossings. I'm with you. But what about the drugs? What about the child trafficking? What about the human trafficking? Now, it is well known to my family and to myself that I worked this field for several years and was very successful in this field. And, well, I also paid my debt to society. I was also caught with this fear of human trafficking. And let me say something. I've also had sent some people have sent me personal messages that were sent a year ago or months ago about me. That people that are still on my friends list, and you know who you are. There's a group of guys, men, that and one in particular that I have the snapshot of their message saying that I would never talk to him, that I remember when he was in, or I'd never associate with him because I remember when he was in Presidio fighting against the Trans-Pecos pipeline. He had mentioned that he worked in that field, and I would never work with anybody or respect anybody who took advantage of those people. And I want to speak to you and to other people who have fears that this isn't what the news outlets have allowed you to understand. This isn't human trafficking. There is two or three different ways of human trafficking. And the way that we went about it, we were a family-run industry. We took damn good care of every individual that came with us in every route and every direction. And we have all those people that will vouch and will pull for us and for myself. We were bringing in people that were asylum seekers, were also people that wanted to get here on all scales. There was none. We would have been shut down by our bosses and our leaders in a heartbeat if there is any wrongdoing to any of our family members that we were helping. It is business. Yes, it is a money-ran business where one particular person or persons or group provided a service to be able to transport individual people that were picked and chosen by families to come towards these companies, say it so to speak, because we were good at what we did. We were fair about what we did. We helped our people. And this is one of the things that I haven't talked about to many people. I will always be proud of what I've done. I will always take it with honor of the people that I helped. I will always take that to the other side, knowing that I did my part to help.
This man just told you that people came up to him and said they didn't want to associate with him because they found out, going all the way back to the Trans-Pecos pipeline, that he was a human smuggler, that he was trafficking people. And he said, I do it right. My criming is good criming. I'm good at the criming. It's a money-making business, and I'm really good at it. I got caught. I paid my debt to society. You know why? You know why, folks? Because he was the other person at the Trans-Pecos pipeline with that Pete Heflin, a.k.a. Gutierrez, Regabo, Pedro, that I just showed you at the top of the show, wearing the same AIM shirt with like Evan Duke, very similar anyway. And this article you can see called The Secret Life of a Hollywood Pipeline Protester, back from 2017, folks. This is after Standing Rock has started, right?
Yep.
So going all the way back to then, it's if you scroll down, you will see the name of Mr. Pedro Regabo Gutierrez, which we talked about earlier. But you will also see the name in this article of Mr. Luis Monsivais. West Texas is familiar with anti-pipeline protest leaders with extensive criminal histories. Earlier this year, Pedro Regabo Gutierrez and Luis Monsivais Gutierrez joined together at a protest while both kept their criminal pasts hidden. You saw the Society of Native Nations that works hand in glove with Luis Monsivais. You heard this man who was posted up by Evan K. Duke as an ally working at the border with them, right? They all are well aware. He talks about his criminal history in the video. They know these people are criminals and they don't care. It's not that they, oops, forgot to check their criminal background. They choose them. I would assert they choose them because they're criminals. They choose them because they're out of control, because they're willing to do anything, because they're unhinged, out of control. That's why they choose them. In fact, Luis Monsivais is a stunt double. By the way, folks, I have an announcement to make. We're going to be doing our very first Super Chat on YouTube right after this. I invite all of you to go there. I'm sharing the link to the Super Chat on YouTube in the comments of the show. It's going to be an opportunity, a rare opportunity, since we don't frequently do this, to simply do Q&A. We're willing to answer your questions on Super Chat. And I'm having Nemo share that link to you guys. So follow us on YouTube. Here's the link for all of you to go and check out our Super Chat right after the show. I hope you'll join us, especially if you've got questions about this or any other topic related to us. Duke and I are going to be doing that in just a moment. Finally, I want to show to you that Evan Duke has previously slipped through the fingers of Border Patrol. U.S. Customs and Border Patrol chained him to a bench, drew down on him, according to Evan himself. They had long arms and weapons. I mean, like
long weapons,
automatic weapons, long weapons. They interrogated him and the group he was with for hours. They seized his telephone. And of course, he is on that list. So we know that Evan and many of the other people Evan and these folks work with are admitted criminals and human traffickers and smugglers, sex workers, people that have no qualms with working with other criminals or people that provide drugs to the caravan or kidnap unaccompanied minors. It's an unscrupulous world that these people come from. And this particular agent of chaos has connections to people in politics and power, including Tulsi Gabbard, Jill Stein, and others I've shown you on my show in the media. I have a lot of questions about that. I think many of you should be asking those questions of these political figures and media people, because seriously, what the heck is going on? How does this guy avoid going to jail? How does he continue to operate? And why are they choosing all of these criminals to work with? All questions I'm sure we all share in common. But that's all I have for you now. We are running over to YouTube. Follow us over there, and we will be open for Q&A right now in Super Chat.
We're going to do a 5-minute clock, and then we'll join us and go to the page.
Yes, join us. Here's the link for everyone. You can go to Duke1517 and on YouTube. That's our channel. Please subscribe and press the button for notifications so you can find out. Since we can now do Super Chats, we will be trying to do this more often. Catch you on YouTube. Thanks for being here on A Mexican Crossing Lines with your hosts, Cindy Gomez-Shump
and Duke Gomez-Shump.
You've been listening to 88.1 FM, KPPPLP Fargo-Moorhead, where we are adding local color to your airwaves. Good night, and catch you on YouTube. You're listening to 88.1 FM, KPPPLP Fargo-Moorhead, where we are adding local color to your airwaves.